I don't have to make a choice to side with you. When it comes to the lion and when it comes to the lamb, we side with Christ. He doesn't have to make a choice to side with us. And right there when Joshua got that revelation, he fell on his face, he worshipped Jesus. And right there he received an impartation. Because I'll tell you, when we come to this stage of the lion and the lamb, the Christ roaring, we've got to understand Joshua chapter 1, why Joshua keeps on receiving the words, be strong, be courageous, be strong. Christ keeps on saying it to him. God keeps on. Moses said to him, be strong and be courageous. Because when the lion roars, there can't be any timidity. So we've seen gentle Jesus, and it's time for that part of Christ. And it's not like some speakers are saying, we've got to roar, there's a lion in us, roar, lion, roar. Christ must roar. We side with him. And I'm looking forward to the days when we can command the sun to stand still again, like Joshua did. Imagine you have a 24-hour day of sunshine to fight your battles. Christ will do that again for us. And just to all the men in here, just to all the men, if Christ start talking to us in that tone, be strong, be courageous. I'm a lion. Please embrace it. Because sometimes we expect Jesus to talk to us as men as, ladies, forgive me, gentle Jesus. And sometimes with men, God doesn't do gentle Jesus. God does man to man, straight talk. Sometimes men needs it. He sits us down and he talks to us men. This is the lion speaking now. This is the commander of the army of the Lord speaking. This is the lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm not making any suggestions, Carlos. I'm giving out commands. And you do this. And you get this right. And then sometimes, you know, It's a bit too much for us as men. But I want to encourage you men, just embrace when Christ starts talking to us. Just embrace when there's older fathers in the faith sitting us down and talking to us that way. With a gentleness. Saying what you are doing now is wrong. Nowadays when you talk to boys, when you reprimand them, when you have straight talk to them, they're offended. They're offended. They don't like it. We can't sit our men down anymore and tell them, you know what you do is wrong? Do you know that you should do it this way and not this way? Oh, you've touched my human rights. They get on their ballet shoes and then their ballet, you've touched my human rights. And Christ has a way of talking to men. And I mean, we need to wake up to this because Christ's going to speak to his men again like that. This army. And ladies, when daddies in the house start talking to your kids like that, not in a rude manner, not in an abusive manner, but when daddy does make his voice a bit thicker, backing up, say, yes, yes, what daddy's saying is true. There's just a shift that's going to come. And I love this song. I just love the way it just portrays Christ. He's a lion. I mean, if... I don't know if you've heard a lion roar. I've heard a lion roar. It's quite a scary thing. But now just amplify that with eternity when that voice speaks. Man, it's going to be awesome. But we're all part of that army if we side with him. But that's not what I'm preaching on this morning. Walk in Unity Part 2. Last week, I spoke about unity. I spoke on just the practical attitudes that we need to have if we're wanting to pursue unity and about calling. I talked about we are called according to God's purposes, number one. I talked about we are called according to God's salvation plan. In other words, God decided to save us. We didn't decide to choose him. He decided to save us. So God saved us. Secondly, God calls us according to His purposes. In other words, God has a purpose for our lives. And then thirdly, God called us to this church. There's not a coincidence that we're all sitting here. It was according to God. So those three things will help us if we pursue unity. If we all know this, we will have unity. Then I spoke about just the practical characteristics of humility. Why is it difficult to pursue unity with a proud man? And I spoke about patience. And why is it so difficult to pursue unity with impatient people? And I spoke of love. All of the practical stuff. All of the practical, characteristics. Today I'm going to talk about, now today's not going to be a sermon. This is going to be principles that I'm sharing now. Last week I shared this story and I'm going to share it again. Because of what happened in my home and my relationship with my father, it was really difficult for me to connect with him because I had a root of bitterness within my heart towards him. We loved each other. And like I've said last week, we had a very manly, you know, relationship. We like grunted and greeted in the morning and then we greet again in the evening. We didn't have an openness to talk. But it was because of roots of bitterness from my side. So, what happened was, a week after I got saved, God told me one morning as both of us were leaving to go teach. He taught at the Roman Catholic school where he was an art, where he was an art teacher. And I went to the school for the hearing impaired where I was a maths and science teacher. And that morning God told me I must kiss my dad. Now I kissed my dad when I was 5 years old. So I was so uncomfortable with this thought because of this root year of bitterness in my heart. I didn't know what to do, and the Holy Spirit gave me the boldness to do it. Guts come from movies and your friends. Boldness comes from the Holy Spirit. Guts doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. Boldness comes. So the Holy Spirit gave me boldness to kiss my dad. And so I kissed him. And then for the first time in my life, my dad walked with me to the gate, the front gate, and he sent me. He said, "Bye, my son, have a great day." I was weeping as I was going because something broke within my heart for him and something broke in his heart for me. And at his 60th birthday, I shared it with him. I told him, "Dad, that day when you sent me, you sent the man standing here." Now, I have to share that story because after that, things changed radically in terms of our relationship with one another. Practically, I learned a whole lot of stuff that I saw in Scripture because of getting rid of the root of bitterness, coming in humility, with patience, with gentleness, with meekness, as the Scripture says. And our Scripture that we read was Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. You're all with me? We read that. And maybe we should just start reading that again. If we can just go there again, Trev. Just so that everybody can be on the same page before I continue. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. I think that will be right at the top. Are we there yet? Because I think it's important just to see the Scripture. I'm not sure if is it there? There's it. "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling." That's why I spoke about the calling to which you've been called. Walk worthy. And I said, if you have a casual view of your calling, you'll have a casual walk. With all humility. Now, this is how you walk. You walk with humility, not with swagger. And gentleness. You walk with gentleness. You walk with patience. Bearing with one another in love. Eager to maintain the unity. There's it. Maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what we spoke about last week. This week I'm going to get practical. After God dealt with the humility and all that stuff within me, and He's still working on me, hey, I still become impatient. Sometimes pride still creeps in. We always think to know better, eh? And anyway. So all of it, God's still working in me. Because I'm walking. It's a way of walking. It's, this will take me a lifetime until Jesus come and fetch me. I'll have to walk. So, what are the practical things? The first thing, if we want to walk in unity, we need to share with each other what we think we are hearing God is saying. Could we just go there, Trev? That, I don't know, I can't see what slide that is, but that is like the third one from being practical. Share with each other. And there's four things that I've just highlighted there. When we get with Christians, we must share, what do you think God is saying to you personally? And we must listen. Secondly, we must share what is God to say, saying to you culturally, in terms of your culture. We're talking about walking in unity, so we're pursuing to walk in unity. It's all going to make sense now. What is God saying to our community? And then what is God saying to us eternally? Practically, that is what we got to do. So, what I've done now, I've taken those points and I have created a picture for you, just to show you this. If you can just show that picture. So, maybe I should switch off these lights here. Just to show you quickly. God speaks to you personally. God speaks to you in community. God speaks into your culture and my culture. And God speaks to us eternally. We've got to learn to discern and distinguish what's personal. You know, sometimes we want to pray in church for things that's personal. And we've got to learn to distinguish when I come sometimes to intercession or when I come to small group, what God is saying to me personally is not necessarily what God's saying to the group. Does that make sense? We've got to distinguish between the two. What God is saying to me in terms of my culture does not necessarily mean God is saying that to the whole community. Now, we've got to learn to discern and distinguish between it. That does not mean what God is saying to you personally is less important. That's not what I'm saying this morning. What I am saying is, as we share, this is how I feel, this is what I think, there's a part where the personal, the community, and the culture, there's a part where it overlaps. Do you see that part where it overlaps? Now, if we can pray from that position, where two or three agree, that will be explosive prayers. But you know what happens sometimes? We rush into prayers with each other. And so the one is praying about Britain leaving the EU. And one starts praying about the big demons with a boat on the Thames. And then there's one bloke who prays about his gas bill. Yes, sometimes that's how it sounds. One is praying in that direction, one is praying in this direction, one is praying personally. And sometimes you're wanting to discern, God, what are you saying here? And yes, maybe God's saying everything, but it's just difficult for us to agree on it. That is why it's important, share what you think. You know, personally, God's here with me. But for us as a church community, I think this is what God's saying. And you know, culturally, I think God wants me to give up a part of my status. And God wants me to humble myself and to visit all my neighbors. No, not my South African neighbors. No, this week I feel God is saying I shouldn't visit Wade. I shouldn't visit Anami. I should visit that man there, that British bloke there. And I should visit this British man. That's what God's saying to me. He's speaking to my culture. He's like pulling an Abraham on me. Have you read Genesis chapter 12? Abraham, go away from your father, from your father's house. Walk away from all of that, then I can talk with you. So sometimes God will challenge us culturally like that. Are you with me? And then share around that. So now Meg shares, and Almi shares, and Wade shares, and Ichmon shares. And now when we pray, there's a synergy. We can pray about the things that knits together within our heart, and we can amen. Because now there's synergy. Now we don't have long prayers. It's short, effective prayers because we know what is God saying to us collectively. Amen, man. We can amen on that. And when we pray, we try and pray, not I, we pray we. God, we feel. And we trust you. And the rest of us says, amen. We agree. We agree. We're talking about unity here. Are you with me? So you'll see, whenever we connect only on a personal level or on a cultural level, or when we only connect on a community level, we form cliques. Christianity can't be a clique. Are you with me? It's a community of believers that whatever God says supersedes how I feel. But that's that sweet spot in the middle, being eternally. Now, there's nothing wrong with our cultures. I mean, I got saved as an Afrikaans-speaking South African. And if I wanted to be specific, which would be offensive to some people, but it's not offensive to me, I got saved as a Afrikaans-speaking South African, what they would call me, Cape Coloured. Now, I know it would be very offensive here. That's why my liberty about my culture shouldn't be a stumbling block to people here. Are you with me? Sometimes the liberties in our cultures are a stumbling block. And Paul says, no, you must become all things to all men, so I must be wise. Are you with me? Until we've come to that place where we can talk about, why do they call you colored? Why is there blacks and coloreds and whites? We can share around that and talk around that and then pray around that. God can bring us to a place of eternal glory, eternally hearing Him together, where every person can pray in his own tongue. Because that's what happened at Pentecost. But now, listen to me. I got saved as that. And there's nothing that I can't do about it. An Eskimo will be get saved as an Eskimo. So what we sometimes do, we want to teach the Eskimos the South African way of doing things. No. We do it this way. This is the right way. But it's actually just, this is the way my culture does it. And if your culture can't submit to the way my culture does it, then we can't be. And that's what Christ wants us to share about. Are you with me? You know, the Americans, they always think the way they do it in America, it must be done everywhere. That's why Pastor Fred made the remark of bands traveling with their lights. Apparently, those lights aren't in any other countries. You only found those lights in America. So that's why they have to travel with their lights. But that's culturally informed. Are you with me? But that's also fine as long as the truth, the eternal value of Scripture supersedes my culture. Where we can become brothers, it is beautiful. We still have a long way to go. Do you agree with me? We still have a long way to go. It's fine. All that I'm saying, just be open that God would help us in that. I've seen a DVD, I'm not going to say the worshipper's name. In America, they're singing, "How Great Thou Art," I can't remember. And then at the height of worship, they start singing the American anthem. Now that's culture. That's not worship. You can't at the height of worship. You can't. He hanged his cross and then he walked off. And then people sing, "For the land of the free." And I was thinking, this is culture. I mean, right now in South Africa, all the blacks getting angry at things their fathers fought for. you know, because they treated my father like that, I'm offended. I have rights. It's wrong. It's been dealt with. There were people in jail for long for that. Are you with me? Now that's culture speaking. It's not a valid point. I'm saying this because we're going to have to engage people like that. We're going to have to engage a lot of people like that, and sometimes it's going to feel very difficult for us. So how are we going to go beyond? The only way we're going to get beyond that is if we share around that. Allow people to share. And the bits that you know Christ is talking about, just take that. Just allow them to share so that we can come to an eternal perspective. Are you with me? Now, just on another level, working together with other organizations, just a few more tips that I've learned. It's weird how God dealt with my father, my relationship with my father, but he showed me all of this. Isn't it weird when God deals with something right there in your own life, he just opens up so many other doors. Anyway, say for instance, we as a group of people want to work with another group of people. To come to a place of perfect unity, number one, we must have doctrinal unity principles. In other words, if we want to work with an organization, at least we must be able to say, we agree that the only way to salvation is Jesus. That's not if you want to disciple people. If you want to build buildings for people that don't have buildings, we can work with them as long as we build buildings. But if you want to disciple people, the people that we are connecting with to build the buildings, they must at least understand that there's only one way to be saved, and it's Jesus. I'm talking about organizations working together. I'm not talking about an individual that's going in partnership with somebody. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about working together. Then, if we decide to disciple the people that we minister to, in other words, we can do food kitchen. Food kitchen is something. So they believe Jesus saves. We believe Jesus saves. They believe Jesus saves. So there can't be, if we're deciding to disciple these people, there can't be somebody who says, but no, there's many ways to Jesus. Then I'll just say, look here, I'm not sure if I'm going to be part of this. I'll have to think it through. Maybe Christ would want me there. Are you with me? Us as a group. Then we've got to decide to go to another level of unity. If we want to disciple people together, we must be in agreement on our practices. So now we're together, we got the people saved, and so now Rob says, but we must have a baptism service, and then the other guy tells Rob, in the name of Jesus, no. We don't baptize adults. We baptize our kids. Roadblock number two. Now we have to talk this through. Come, let us pray for the new believers, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. No. Can we pray for the sick? Never. It ceased. We don't pray for the sick. So to go to another level, we've got to understand. And then to go to another level of unity, we've got to understand, we've got to have the same vision. So now, you see, it's growing practically, unity. So now we have the same vision prophetically. This is what God is saying together. We're going to do this together. We're going to operate together. This is the vision that God has given us. And ladies and gents, we must get to that place if we want to get the UK saved. But when God's going to do that, I don't know, that's His prerogative. I'm open at this stage to work together. I'm really open for us as a group to work together. But then comes that final step of unity. There's got to be one guy leading us. There's got to be one guy leading us. There can't be seven guys leading us. Because if the seven don't agree, one must make a decision. Ladies, for me, Ichmon and Rob, The buck stops with us one day in heaven. I can't phone Elmarie when Jesus speaks to me. Oh, don't you want to just explain to Jesus why? No. Jesus is going to say, no. You're the head of the home. This is how I ordained it. This, I understood it. I'm talking to you first. She'll have a chance. Don't you worry. Back in the line. I think this was going to be one of those lines that you don't want to cut in a. You'll wait patiently so that you have enough time to think. And especially if there's somebody that you really saw as very holy, and you looked up to them, and you see them getting a hiding, then you're thinking, that's a joke. It's not going to happen like that in lines, eh? But the point that I'm wanting to make, Christ deals with leadership. So when it comes to unity, Christ speaks through leaders. That's the way he understands it. So it's just practical stuff for us to think through. Oh, man. Then another thing God showed me with my dad, laying our will and opinion down for the bigger picture. Sometimes I had better ideas with my dad, but then my dad would say, look here, Carlos, I think in the home we must do it this way. Then I must be able to lay my will down. As long as my dad is not telling me to sin, I say, Dad, I agree. We're going to go that route. And just on the side, sometimes older people, they say stuff that we don't agree with, but they're right. In the end, they're right. It's just because of, it's just the way God works. Because of the experience of life and the way they see life, the way that they see life and the way that they go forth life, just respect it if it's not sin. I mean, if somebody older tells you, no, I think we should break into NatWest. Now, that can't be of God. But sometimes they just have wisdom that we need to have respect for them. Just go with that. You know why? Because their way of interpreting life is much different than we. And I'm going to say this now, even when they are not saved. There's some stuff that my dad told me. I was like, what? You tell me? Huh? You've not been even filled with the... He was right. The first advice he gave me when I gave my life to the Lord, he was the first person I told. Lied next to him and said, Dad, this is what I did. The first thing he said, just remember people are looking up to you. Don't make a mockery of this. And I know what he was saying. In home, we're looking at you now with different eyes because they can see the difference. They can see it. And yes, he was right. Because by then I was still smoking. So one morning, this chilling thing, he's just saying, so who are you trying to convince if you're still doing this? And what he was saying to me, it's going to be difficult for people to listen to you if you still continue doing this. Again, he was right. I didn't want to hear it from him, but he was right. Are you with me? So when it comes to church, sometimes all of us, we all have ideas. We all have ideas. And then somebody would say, no, we're not going to go that way. We're going to go this route. And then we need trust because then sometimes I would tell people, just trust me now, we're going to go this route. Then we must be able to lay our will and our opinion down. Are you with me? Does it make sense? So strategically, I can decide where we as a church can go with the congregation. You can come with a word. This is what God's saying. But now Hercules comes in and Hercules says, no, Carlos, I don't think this is the direction we should go. We should go this direction. Then I must come back and say, you know, Ichmon, that word we thought, but we're not going to go there. This is what. And then Fred can come, and Fred can say, no, but strategically, Hercules, call us, just wait with us. Let's do this. Then Hercules must lay his will down. I must lay, Ichmon must lay. We must all lay down for the bigger picture. That's how God works. If Fred's right or wrong, that's not the issue. If he heard wrong, he's going to be called first. He's going to give an account for us. If I'm right, but I submitted to him, I'm still going to get blessed. Difficult stuff to talk with the youth today or young people today. It's difficult stuff to talk to them about. Very difficult. Then, giving each other the benefit of the doubt while we're dealing with contentious issues. That's the following slide. If stuff's contentious, it's gray areas and we don't have answers, I must give Sylvie the benefit of the doubt, even if she was really upset. I know that's difficult. So say, for instance, Sylvie and Meg, they're in a fight. You know how fighting goes. Some people scream a bit louder, and then it gets louder, and then other people, they think, no, you can't outdo me. I'll go higher, 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 higher. You know, higher. And the other one goes higher. And then it's just a bad fight. Now both of them, they go home. What the enemy would want to tell Meg is, Sylvie's out to get you. She doesn't respect you. And maybe he's right. But you should nail Sylvie. You shouldn't allow her to do that. What Christ would want us to do is, Meg must go and say, okay, God, I'm going to give Sylvie the benefit of the doubt. This is a very nice scripture if it's for nice people. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Oh man, it sounds like a soap here. But Paul was right. The apostle Paul was right. That's how love operates. But now it's very difficult to have an understanding of that. If we've got beef, you know what I mean with beef? We don't see eye to eye. But I must give my wife the benefit of the doubt when we are dealing with contentious issues. I'm willing to listen, and I'm willing to say, you know, you meant this for good. Sometimes we don't want people to judge us by the intentions of our hearts, although our actions stink. You know, sometimes in my home, I do stupid things. My actions doesn't speak louder than my words. And believe me, if you're the only male in the home, sooner or later, you'll know about it. You know what's the hardest part for me? You know what the hardest part for me is? If my action stinks, but all that I want the other part is to know my heart doesn't. Yes, I acted wrong, but that wasn't the intention of my heart. But the same applies vice versa. I'm giving you the benefit of that, but you know what? Although, simple. So, let's take Rob. Let's say, for instance, Rob walked this morning to church. As Rob walked to church, he saw another man beat up his wife. Rob tried to stop this thing. You know how it works. So both of them turn on Rob. Who gives you the right? So now Rob's like, I wanted to be the Samaritan man. And so Rob gets a beating and a few English, very, very beautiful English words that I can't say in church. And so now he's on his way here, he's limping. And then as he comes closer to church, this limp just leaves him. So now Rob comes in to the bathroom. He comes, he sits here. Rob greets nobody. So now Wade's like, "You didn't greet me, huh? Did you see?" And then, "Yeah, I saw her." "Why?" "Hey, these guys, these Chinas." The problem is, Rob's actions may be wrong, but why should I doubt the man's intentions of his heart? I should give the man the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes we judge people by their hearts, and we shouldn't do that. Giving each other the benefit of the doubt while dealing with contentious issues. Let's just read Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19. The previous session we talked about characteristics. Now I just want to show you some sins. Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19. Watch this. There are six things that the Lord what? Hates. There's stuff that God hates. Seven that are an abomination. This morning when I walked home, I saw a dead fox. To church. Sorry, not home here, to church. I saw a dead fox. And something bit him, but it was on this very narrow pavement. So I actually had to walk over the thing, you know. So now the whole time as I'm walking, as I'm coming close, I'm just thinking, what if I go over it and it just... My mind is like playing all these things and I'm just checking, if I do this, what if it just bites? Oh, man. Anyway, but now I'm wanting to explain... If that thing had been lying there for a long time, it would have smelled. If you come closer to it, that smell that you get and you see the maggots, that's an abomination. It's a picture of how God feels about the thing that I am going to share with you now. Because just watch what it says. Number one, haughty eyes. Again, pride. It's a sin and it destroys unity. A lying tongue. Half a truth, withholding information, it breaks unity. And maybe I should clarify this. Sometimes we must withhold truth to protect people. But if I withhold truth to protect myself, it's wrong. Secondly, if I share information about her to you, to get you on my side, that's evil. Sometimes we share information to get people on our side. That's not right. We're not in a court of law. We're in a church. So whatever I'm sharing with you, I must be willing to share in the open with her. We're talking about unity. Are you with me? Sometimes we must use the discernment and just say, we're not going to share everything now because we need to protect people. That's why we need discernment. But if we do it with the wrong intentions to spread lies, it's wrong. Hands that shed. It's interesting that Proverbs would say that, and Jesus said, if you're angry at your brother, you've already committed murder within your heart. Interesting. A heart that devises wicked plans. In other words, if I go around all the time to put people in a negative spot. Or feet, I just want to do evil. Now this is very subtle. It's very, very subtle. You know what? Going around to put people in bad light, that is a heart that devises wicked plans and it's a heart that makes evil. We don't see this in church, but it happens in church. We're now thinking, I want to take your business out. I want to cut the brakes on your car. No. What scripture talks here about is people that do this relationally. You'll see now why I say it, because we have to read scripture in context. Scripture needs to interpret scripture. Now, those things, I just want to say this, when we pursue unity, just remember, do we really want to see other people fail? You know, sometimes it's like we want people to fail just to tell them, I told you so. Sometimes lives are full of I told you so's, and you can't move. But you know what? That's not the way that we should operate. Watch this. Next. A false witness who breathes out lies. Now, just check out the last line. We're talking about unity. And one who sows discord among brothers. It's something God hates. But it's a progression. It starts with watery eyes. It starts with a lying tongue. Hands anger. It starts with devising wicked plans. It progresses. And all of those things, it's discord. God doesn't understand it. I'll have to go quicker. I'm just wanting to say this. Allow our relationship with Scripture and the Holy Spirit to govern our lives. Truth must move our emotions and opinions. When we read Scripture, if Scripture says we shouldn't lie, it must move our emotions. It must move us from the inside. Not the fact that we are dealing with an issue. The issue, yes, it touches our emotions. And yes, our emotions are important to God. It is. Please. I'm not saying that. So sometimes a good old-fashioned fight, not a brawl, a pub fight, a good old-fashioned debate and fight with words, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But then I must be mature enough to come back and say, you know what? This is what Scripture is saying. This is the right thing to do. But sometimes we must get things of our hearts, you know? It's a good thing. We're pursuing unity. Hey, Meg. Unity, man. Unity. As our friends from Jamaica would say. Psalms 133, verse 1 to 3. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar. Who led the Israelites through the desert? Moses or Aaron? As a leader, who? Moses. Why does this scripture speak about Aaron? Why does this scripture speak about the unity that comes from Aaron? Can I tell you why? Because if Aaron was not in unity with Moses, in other words, unity cannot be there if second tier leadership doesn't understand. If Aaron wasn't the one that went to the people and said, listen, this is what Moses is saying, if he didn't do it right, unity couldn't have been achieved. That's why it says it's good and pleasant when brothers dwell in unity. That's why it doesn't even mention Moses. So what I'm learning from this scripture is, number one, dwelling in unity, we mean is then leadership and headship. If you can just go to the next slide. Leadership, headship. It talks of divine order. Where there's unity, we understand divine order. Where there's unity, we understand chain of command, second tier leadership, relaying what God is wanting us to do. So, just the next slide, I'm going to come back and teach on it. Christianity is not a democracy, it is a theocracy, where a sovereign God governs fallible humans through fallible chosen leaders. I'm a fallible dad, I make mistakes. But God has chosen me to be leader over my family with my wife. So we must be careful of that familiarity. It breeds contempt. There can't be unity. Pastor Fred ate with us the previous Sunday. We made a few jokes. We laughed. It was so nice to have him there. But Pastor Fred's not my China. He's my leader. At one stage, we talk about friendship. But when he gives commands, I must understand it. Now, sometimes we get so close to one another. You know, it's like your wife making you a cup of coffee and we don't say thank you anymore. We're familiar with one another. She's used to making it. He must mow the lawn. It's his job. But there's not a thank you. Familiarity breeds contempt. No unity. So all that I'm saying is, in terms of structure, we must just be friends, but at the same time, you know, if Rob comes to me and Rob tells me, Carlos, the way you speak to Elmery, it's not a blessing. if he says it in a respectful way, and then I must listen to him. And I've seen so many people pull rank. Who do you think you're talking to? Now they want to pull rank. I've been a Christian for so many years. And I've been part of this focus on the family. I'm focus on the family's chairman in the UK. I know how to focus on my family. Familiarity breeds content. I think I'll stop there. Where do we derive our sense of unity? Can you feel unity if you're on your own? With who are you in unity with? With yourself. With myself. Unity can only be expressed where two or more people are together. So, unity is one of the expressions of love. You can't be on your own and just love yourself. Who are you going to love? I mean, if I'm a millionaire, Ichmon, but I live on a deserted island where there's nobody, I'm actually nothing. My millions only mean something to me when I actually live with people. Before that, the rats and the mice and the lice, they just think here's another piece of meat. We'll bite him. They don't know about my millions, but my millions make sense when I'm with people. Love makes sense when we are with people. It's actually a very good way to ask people, so where did you learn to love? No, I learned to love from my dad. Where did you learn? Where did your dad learn? From my dad. Where did all this start? The unity of love can only be expressed from a being that is love, which is God. All the other religion starts with power. So we have to appease the God who is powerful, otherwise he's going to punish me. With Christianity, the world was never created through power. The world was created because of a unifying love. The Father sends the Son. The Son leaves the Holy Spirit so that we can experience the love. That's why this unity is important. Because by this unity, people will see the love that we have for one another. That's why we have to talk about this. Because it's the next stage in our growth. But the whole body of Christ. But you know, when there's no unity, people can see the hatred. They can see. So, this morning, I want to commend us on pursuing love. Pursue it. But pursuing love means we pursue unity, even if we disagree. We don't do it from a place of power or authority. We do it from a place, Father, as you've sent me, Jesus said, I sent them. Father, as you've loved me, I have loved them. Unity. And so God utters these beautiful words. He says in the beginning, Jesus, Holy Spirit, let us make man. Not me. Let us make man. I'll send you to them to demonstrate my love. And when you come up to me, we're going to leave the Holy Spirit behind so that they can experience that love 24/7. That love's there 24/7. And to make it more tangible, we're going to allow them to show each other acts of kindness. Bear with one another. Be patient with one another. It's so nice to know my family is patient with me, Rob. Ooh, yata. It is such a blessing just to knowing there's a lot of people patient with me. Do you know how comforting it is just to know there's people patient with you? I don't know how that touches you, but it touches me when Fred or Hercules look like me and think, he's not catching what we're saying. But let's be patient with where he's at. It means a lot. It means a lot. It means a lot when someone like Hercules or Francis calls that word that you brought me. It meant so much. I'm listening. Oh, you see the humility of these guys. I think, wow. You know. Perfect unity. It is awesome that we can do it. And it's awesome that the people that's going to come, we're going to show it to them. Father, as a movement, you've preordained the church as your building, the church as your people. You've established the unity in us and among us, and you've given us that unity through your Holy Spirit, Son, and you as Father. Send us as people that can pursue unity. Send us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to take a break from this, and I'm going to come back later in the year, and I'm going to preach on how to pursue unity at your workplace if you're the only believer. Which would be going to be interesting. But we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to have to talk about the tri-unity of unity in the Godhead, where it started. We're also going to start there. But it's an amazing journey. And now Christy's spoiling us again. We were about to go pray with the worship leaders. And it was real serious stuff. And so Meg walked and she looked at the cake. And she stopped, distracted by a cake. Ichmon, we were going to the throne room of God. A cake with nuts on it distracted her. How are we going to win the kingdom if cakes distract us? How are we going to get this kingdom coming? But you can have a very big slice now. God bless you.